Welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. Working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Oh, thank you for that. Clearing my throat. Sorry about that. It happens. Thank you for joining me on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. It's a beautiful day. The sun is shining, but you know, it's one of those days where you are looking out on the boulevard. And it looks great. It's a great day. It's a wonderful day, but it is cold. It looks like it's warm, but you don't be fooled. You're going to need in Chicago, you're going to need a jacket or a coat or something, you know. But every now and then you'll see someone walking past the window, you know, half dressed, you know, acting as if they're not cold. And we know better, right? So once again, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn. I'm on all over the place, as I always say on this show. And I want to thank those who joined me yesterday on the show. It was a totally spirited show. And I want to thank everybody who, once again, I'm always thanking people because they're always giving me positive feedback on the show and on my performance. But I don't look at my performance. I look at the performance of the guests that are coming onto the show. And because it's all about them. I'm just a medium for them to come on and talk about whatever they do and try to convince us that we should be a part of it in some way. All right. We're in Chicago. We are in Chicago, and it looks good. It looks great. And my guest today will be author Christine Baumgartner. Okay. Baumgartner. Hope I'm not crucifying her name. And she is a dating and relationship expert on this show. She's going to tell us all about how to avoid getting into bad relationships. Yeah, I mean, if you're out there and you like this kind of thing, then this is your show. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and hey, it's 6:02 straight up at the side. Just like I said yesterday, if it's 50 degrees outside, we're near the lake. I'm near the lake. So if it's 50 degrees inland, it's 40 degrees where I'm at, because I'm on the north side of Chicago. We're near the lake. We have parks and beaches and all kind of things here. So it's always cooler near the lake because the cool air comes blowing inland off the lake, and we're the first ones to feel it. So, like I said before, if it's 80 degrees inland, it's always going to be 10 or 15 degrees less than that near the lake. So it's always cooler near the lake. Sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's a bummer, you know. But my son says, "Well, I like living by the lake." I said, "Okay, all right. We'll see if we can still do it." All right, we are listening. We're going to have, like I said before, we're going to have Christine Baumgartner on the show, Dating and Relationships. She's perfect pitch. She's going to tell us whatever that is. I mean, that's what the show is for, to learn, right? Okay, she should be along in a few minutes. Right now, we're going to talk about the crime statistics in the city of Chicago. And And I'm just now learning that Chicago is not the murder capital of the world. That is so great. So So people, if you're listening out there, if you're in Chicago, we're not as bad off as some other cities in the United States when it comes to crime. We are not. A new poll found that over half of Americans think, half of Americans think that Chicago is more dangerous than any other large U.S. city, but their perception does not match the reality of the Windy City crimes rate, which is actually falling. Falling. I mean, it's hard for people to believe that, that the crime rate in Chicago has failed or is falling, because every weekend there is someone getting shot. But this is a national poll, folks. So this is not me saying this. And when I saw this, I said, man, I got to talk about that on the radio. I got to let people know, because most people are saying, most people are avoiding Chicago. Most people are leaving Chicago. But if you're going to leave Chicago, do not leave because of the crime rate. You just may move somewhere else where the crime might be even worse. So it's not that, that's great news. I mean, I just said, I'm going to have to share this. I'm going to have to share this with my audience. So Chicago is a beautiful city. It's a beautiful town. And it is. And I'm proud to live here. I mean, I know there's people leaving, and they're leaving for multiple reasons, not just because of the crime. But, you know, we've just hired a new superintendent in Chicago, someone named Eddie Johnson, someone who has been on the inside of things within the police department. And we'll see where that goes. OK, we just hired a new superintendent. I mean, he's vowing to bring crime down in the city of Chicago. Let's see where that goes. You know, if he doesn't, then we just get rid of him and hire another person. You know, they don't do their job, get him out. You know, because they're making a lot of money. I mean, they are making a huge amount of money, and they have to earn that money. You don't earn it, then you're out. You're fired. But anyway, the U.S. government poll published this week found that Chicago is the only city that a majority of respondents do believe to be unsafe. Okay, with 50% identifying it as dangerous, 50% of the people in America identify Chicago as being a dangerous city. That's something. The next most dangerous major cities, according to the respondents, according to Americans, the next most dangerous cities are New York, Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and Miami. So, you know, crime, I mean, if you can believe this report, crime is falling, and it's really, really good news. Okay, the opinion poll's findings, which include only the nation's other recent rankings of dangerous cities, okay? In Forbes 2013 ranking based on FBI data, Atlanta came in as the most dangerous of all the 10 cities, including in the poll. Detroit, which is not a part of the poll, ranked first overall on the Forbes list. So they're saying Detroit and Atlanta are probably have more crime than Chicago does. But you know what? Crime, no matter how much crime is committed in a city, crime anywhere is just pathetic. You know, I mean, you don't want to say, well, this city here is, there's more killings in this city than it is over there in that city. Killings, violence, anywhere among people is totally, you know, uncalled for. Okay, the poll also contradicts overall crime trends in Chicago. Through the end of August, police say the number of murders in Chicago were down 7%. Those shootings incidents were up 5%. Chicago Police Department has previously noted that the city's homicide rate is at its lowest in 50 years. So why are all these people going around saying that Chicago is the most violent city in the United States? It is not. It is not. But it seems like it almost, with all these violent, these shootings, domestic violence, sex trafficking, it almost seems as though it is. But statistics are saying that it's not. And this is not coming from me. This is coming from your government. Who can you believe? Uh-oh, everybody is silent. But anyway, if this is true, if this report is true, it's a relief for me to try to come on the radio and say that something good about the city of Chicago. Okay, the Pew Research Center has also pushed back against Chicago's murder capital reputation. So there's a lot of cities and polls pushing back against other people who are saying that we are the number one murder capital in the world. We are not. Chicago is not. There's no way. Pointing out in July, in a July analyst, that Chicago actually had the nation's 21st highest murder rate in 2012, the most recent year for which the FBI has released official data. Okay? Six other cities, Richmond, Virginia, Birmingham, Alabama, Flint, Michigan, Detroit, New Orleans, Washington, D.C., have at some point since 1985 been home to the nation's highest homicide rates. Folks, Chicago is not the city you think it is in terms of murder. It is not. If anybody's saying those things, they're overreacting or they're just lying. And like I said before, I love Chicago. I will, and you know, I'm not going to say I'm going to always be here, but it's not as bad as some people say it is. This is a beautiful city. It's a beautiful town. We got some screwed up politicians. We got some screwed up people. I mean, what state doesn't? But in other words, this is a beautiful city. It's a beautiful town, especially over here on the north side where I am. Most of the crime that occur in Chicago is on the south and west sides of the city. I'm not saying that crime doesn't occur in all areas of the city, but the majority of the crime in Chicago are in those areas, the Inglewood community. I mean, you got Gage Park, you name it, Gresham community. These are south and west sides of the city. Crime happens all over the city, but the majority of crime is congregated within those avenues because people on those people over there, some of them are uneducated, drug dealers, gangbangers, prostitutes, a lot of sex trafficking. The city of Chicago is now going over into those high crime ridden neighborhoods and tearing down abandoned. That is where gangbangers, drug dealers, prostitutes hang out in those buildings and commit more crime. I'm pretty sure they find a lot of guns and needles and rubbers, things like those in those buildings. And as I speak, they're bulldozing some of those buildings, which I totally agree with. I totally agree with, you know, so with this new cop being hired a day or so ago, maybe something could be done about bringing Chicago's crime rate down even further. Although I want to mention that Chicago has been downgraded again in the credit category. It just means that if Chicago wants to borrow money, they're going to have to pay more. The interest rate is going to be totally, totally through the roof whenever Chicago's try to buy money because of this pension fiasco. It's a lot of things that's going on. And, you know, it's hard to get in on a hour and a half show, two and a half hour show. It is so much going on in this town. It is really so much going on. But I am so glad to bring to you that Chicago is not the murder capital of the world, you know. And, But you never know. You have to. I mean, we had a 13-year-old shot in the back. We had a 7-year-old just shot. But they're going to live. But the shooting is just horrendous. This is just crazy. The more you tell these fools out there to put the guns down, the quicker they pick them up. And that's what it seems. That's what it seems. The more people protest and more people want the shootings to stop, the more the shootings go on. And I'm out here just like anybody else. I'm on the radio. I'm getting the word out. I hope you are passing the word along to those who you know to put the guns down. But some of these guys are just boneheaded and thuggish and just rotten to the core, and they pick a gun up and they go out and shoot somebody. And that's all you can do is call them names. What else can you do? Because if you go over there trying to stop these guys, tell these guys not to shoot each other, they'll turn around and put a bullet in your head. All right. The government poll also found that most Americans do not recognize that today the national murder rate is half of what it was 20 years ago, and that respondents' perceptions of how safe or unsafe a city is have little to do with whether they have actually been to the city. I totally agree. If you have not been to the city, if you have not visited the city, even though we're having problems with the tourism industry in Chicago because Bruce Rauner has ripped the funding away, if you have not, don't criticize it. Do not put it down. Come here first before you talk about it. Come here first before you get the wrong perception of it. Come here first. Visit Chicago before you get the wrong idea. And whatever you do, just because someone else says something bad about Chicago, take it with a grain of salt. Visit Chicago first. Make your own perception. Give your own perception of Chicago. Don't follow what someone else has said, or the media, or your friend, or the group of people over there. They're saying nasty things about Chicago. Don't fall into that rim of doubt. Don't fall into that. Okay? Come to Chicago, visit it, and go around the city, and you'll see that we're not nowhere near what we were in the 20s and 30s with Al Capone. It's not there. The city used to be Michael Jordan City. When people thought about Chicago, they thought about Michael Jordan. Now they think about, most people, when they think about Chicago, they think about South and West Side murders, the killings, the violence. And that's not good. A lot more to offer than bullets flying over your head. We have a lot more to offer. The scenic views, the architecture, the landmarks, the wonderful people who are here. It's a wonderful place. It's a great town. It's a wonderful place to live. And I'm saying this because it's true. I wouldn't say this if I didn't live here, okay? My girlfriend, she used to, we love it. We adore it. Of course, we are on the north side, but, but you know what? You got to clean up those areas. Those areas like the west and south sides of Chicago, they have to be cleaned up. They have to be. You got the gangbangers, the thugs, the dirt bags. You got to get them away from over there in those areas. I mean, I saw, if I can divert a little bit, I saw a video on the news the other day. Was it yesterday or something? Where a bunch of bad guys, a bunch of gangbangers, thugs, I mean, they were busting into gun shops and stealing guns and ammunition. And some of them people have not been caught. Those guns, as we know, and that ammunition are used on the streets. And this is happening all around. These guys are just, I think that gun shop owners should start putting, bars all around their businesses. These guys were blatant. I mean, they just, one video, one of these guys ran their van or SUV into the front of a gun store, busting and shattering all the windows, and about four or five of them start charging into the shop, busting the glass, the display glass, and loading up on guns, putting them in sacks, grabbing as what they can, and just running out back out to the van. This is scary. This has happened about three or four times, according to the reports. And that's scary, you know. So we all know, everybody know that the guns are out there, out here. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And we will be right back. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. This is the talk of our times. The talk of our times. It is time for the brainy and clever quiz question of the day. Here we go. Hit it, George. All right. Welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. A little bit loud there. All right, but I appreciate it. This is a smart quiz question. What is the supreme law of the land? You know, it's a constitution question. What can I say? This is most of this stuff is political anyway, except for some parts of it. What is the supreme law of the land? 347-857-1762. I'm actually bringing back the smart quiz question. Every now and then we'll have it, smart quiz question on the show. Not every day, not all the time. Because sometimes I'm so busy, I can't remember to generate one. And sometimes when I'm less busy, I still can't remember to generate a question. But somehow I did this time. And it's a constitutional question. It's if you know your constitution, don't worry about it. If you don't, Google it. It'll come up. But I try to add some fun into the show. Because I just love fun. You know, I really do. I wouldn't do anything if it wasn't fun. And I'm also an author, and I wouldn't write or publish or do any of that if it wasn't fun. I don't do anything if it wasn't fun and I didn't enjoy doing it. And that's what I'm telling you out there. Do something that you enjoy. Doesn't care what other people say or what other people think. The hell with them. Do what you love doing. And if they don't support you, if they're not with you, get rid of them and keep doing what you're doing. As simple as that, you know, do something. I mean, there's a lot of retirees out there. I mean, do something you love. Write a book. You can do it as a hobby. I'm not doing it as a hobby. I'm doing it as a business, a hobby or business. Write a book. Les Brown is one of the motivators years ago who motivated me to write. And I was just reading one of his books, one of his gorgeous books. And every page of that book was motivating me to do something. And I knew I had to do something. So on every page, he was saying, write a book, George, write a book, George, write a book, George. I'm saying, okay, Les, I'll write a book. You know, in so many ways, that's what the book was saying to me. And I published my first book, Derek Sweat Sings the Blues. And I recently rewrote it, rewrite it, resubmitted it, republished it under the name of Down in the Groove. But the point here is that do what you want to do. Do something that you love doing, no matter what it is. If you enjoy it, you love it, do it. Do not let anybody anywhere tell you that you can't do something, or tell you that you're not good at something, or tell you, or to belittle you, or to do any of that. You know your heart. You know what you want to do. You know your creativity. You know your talent. You know what you want to do. Get out there and do it. Don't sit around moping and being depressed and being with a feeling of worthlessness, a feeling that you don't belong. Find something to do that makes you happy. And it's true. It is true. Les motivated me to write a book, and I wrote it, and I've been writing ever since. Now I'm just trying to get reviews. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you so much. Thank you for following me. Thank you for all your great feedback to the show. Thank you for all your great feedback of some of the things that I've written. You can find all of those things on WMR in Kindle format, or, you know. And it's been great. It's been wonderful. I loved doing the show. I've been doing the show almost 2 years. I've had wonderful and great guests on the show. I always try to have guests on the show where you and I can learn something, because I've said so many times on this show, we're never too old to learn. We're never too old to learn. No matter how much education you have, we're never too old to learn something new. I learn something new all the time. And I said to myself, well, good. I should have learned this 10 years ago. But hey, learning it now is better than not learning it at all. So always be open to learning something new, no matter what age you are. It's a great feeling. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be back in a few seconds, folks, maybe a minute or so. Okay, let me see what we got here.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Blog Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Oh, wow. I just love that laugh. She makes me laugh. Okay. All right. We're back on the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live out of Chicago. Look me up on Facebook. Look me up. I'm all over the place. LinkedIn. I got stuff everywhere. And I want to say we're going to have author Christine Baumgartner. I hope I'm not torturing her name, but anything. But she's, let me see here. I think I've got some information. If I can find it, stay with me, folks. Sometimes I'm a little bit slow. She is a dating and relationships expert. She should be here in about a minute or so, and we're going to be waiting for that. It's a book out there called Dark Money by Jane Mayer. It is a book about money and politics. It is why is America living in an age of profound economic inequality? Why despite the desperate need for to address climate change, okay? Maybe that has something to do with the weather in Chicago, who knows? Have even the modest environmental efforts been defeated again and again? Why the protections for employees has been decimated? Well, the Supreme Court just had a 4-4 tie over whether they want to bust unions or not, but these are things that we can talk about later on into the show. 347-857-1762. Let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. You're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Don't be shy. Christine?
Hello.
Christine Baumgartner.
Hello.
Don't be shy.
Hello.
I'm here. Go ahead.
Great. Hi, George.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, I am so excited to talk to you today. Thank you again for having me on your show. I'm just thrilled.
No problem. Ladies and gentlemen who are listening to this show, and I hope you are, and I hope you're downloading and podcasting and all that kind of thing and listening when I market the show, this is Christine Baumgartner, and she is, her clients often say to themselves, I know I'm a good person, so why I can't meet another person? Okay, she's a dating and relationship expert. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, George. Thank you very much. I had a chance to listen to some of your other podcasts, and you're so happy. You're my favorite kind of person. You're so happy and upbeat and positive. Oh, I just have been very excited for my interview with you.
Okay. All right. Tell us something about yourself and about the book.
Well, I am a dating and relationship coach, and I spend 5 years figuring out how to date really badly. I did a really good job of it. I kept meeting people that weren't a match for me and people that weren't somebody that I, the thing I kept telling all my friends that they'd be happy to remind me is that I kept saying, oh yeah, nice guy, I'd never marry him. Oh yeah, I like him too, but I would never marry him. And they said, well, why is that? And I go, I don't know. I just wouldn't marry him. So then when I decided I really did want to get married again, I thought I should probably figure out how to start dating people that I would want to marry. So first I had to figure out what I wanted, what I really wanted, what was important to me. And that's the first step I do with my clients to find out, well, what do you really want in a relationship? What are the absolute must-have things and what are the things that you can't have? And when I started looking at dating that way, and I started really paying attention to the people that were sitting across the table from me. And I said, well, gosh, now I have this really great list, but the people sitting across the table from me still aren't matching that list. So then I had to look at, well, what?
Oh, okay.
If they're going to have
you know
the
what?
Same Oh, what did you say?
Christine?
Yes.
No, I was saying there's probably a lot of people out here who have had a lot of frustrating dating or trying to date, including myself. What would you say about trying to get some of the frustrations out of wanting to date someone new?
So I'd be happy to answer that in kind of a general way, but it sounds like you might even have a specific question, and I would love if you had, this has been my frustration when I've been dating or your friends have been dating. Do you have something specific? Because I bet the way that you've been dating.
Do I have something specific?
Yeah, something specific that's been really frustrating you when you've been dating.
Okay, this is me.
I'm ready.
This hasn't happened a lot, but okay. I mean, seem like just about every woman that I have tried to meet or tried to have a relationship with has totally wound up being not the person that I found out later that I should not be with. So how do I, or someone in my position like that, cope with something like that?
Well, there's two ways to approach it. So one, think you really knew the kind of person that you wanted to date. Because often we don't have a really good idea of who we want to date. Do we want somebody who tells jokes but isn't corny? Do we want somebody that goes to church every Sunday, or somebody who isn't religious at all, or somebody who is very spontaneous, or somebody who's more organized? I mean, it's really important to figure out what are the things that are absolutely really important to us. And then to try out, as you're first starting to communicate, whether it's online or on the phone or in person, if they match some of those. So that's always the first step. But then what happens, I will tell you this thing that we women do, when we are really okay. into a guy, this is a secret. When we're really into a guy,
wow.
and when our chemistry is flying around inside our bodies, we stop acting like our authentic self. We do. We just stop. We start acting like how we think you want us to act, or who we think you want us to be.
Okay.
And it's a complaint I get from men all the time, because they say, well, this is who she started out seeming like, but then she turned into somebody different later. So what I tell women is it's very important for us to stay our authentic self. So you might have met women that were very, the chemistry was going in their bodies, and they weren't acting like who they really were. And then later on, they became who they really were, and you went, oh, that's not the right person for me. Do you see how that can happen?
Christine, how do you feel about online dating?
I actually am a huge fan. It's how I met my husband. And what I like about online dating is it's the biggest pool of single people in the world. I mean, typically, if you go to an event that says it's for singles, there are 3 men and 100 women. Which, even I think, as much as the men would smile, it's really a little overwhelming, and how can they get to know if any of these women are really a match for them? Where online, you have a chance to read about somebody and get to know them a little better by emailing. So, yes, I know there's scam people out there, and I know there's people that aren't who they say they are. But what I teach my clients is how to figure out if they're for real or not, and to not pay attention to them more than a couple of times if it turns out that they're not who they are, say they are. There's always clues. There's always clues that show you they're not a good person. But I will tell you, the majority of people online, both men and women, are good people, nice people. Most of them are looking for a relationship. Most of them have very good intentions. And I coach my clients all the time. I look at profiles with them. I help them write profiles. I know that there's lots of wonderful people online. Absolutely. So I think it's a great tool, a great tool. But you have to have a really good profile. You have to have really good glamour pictures. They just have to be current, clean, so that you don't show up looking different than your picture. And you need to talk about who you are,
Christine,
and who you want. Yes?
Yes.
Sorry, did you have another question?
Okay.
I get very excited about the subject, you can tell.
All right. Christine.
Oh, you cut out. Hello? Hello, George. Hello. 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 Hello, George.
All righty. Problems.
Oh.
All right. Christine?
Hi, George.
Okay. Why did you choose to become a dating and relationship coach?
Because when I discovered that a big reason that I kept dating the wrong people had to do with me and how I felt about men and thought about men, and that when I changed the way that I thought about men, wonderful men started showing up, and my girlfriends were amazed, so I started teaching them. And wonderful men started showing up across the table from them, too. So when I met my husband is what made me.
Wow.
It was 10 years ago I decided I wanted to share this with other people because I'd had such wonderful success.
And that's, you know what, Christine, that's what makes it great, is you're taking your experiences and wanting to share it with other people out here, because some of the people are going through some of the same things that you have gone through and that I have gone through. I mean, I have been in many relationships that a lot of them have just gone completely wrong. How do you know when that person is right for you?
Wow, that is such a big question, George. You really are good at asking very, very good questions. So,
that's because I've gone through a lot of it.
I can tell. Haven't we all? So,
yes.
I'm not sure I could give you a complete answer. I mean, I actually teach a whole 8-week course and to answer that question, but certainly to start out.
You could summarize it, you know. Yeah.
Yes, is to, again, know what's important to you and ask questions. They aren't nosy questions it's not supposed to feel like an interview. Like, if in fact being around family is really important to you, you would find out what kind of a relationship do they have with their family. Gosh, have you gone on vacation recently with your family? And gosh, how do you handle holidays? What do you do about holidays? So you're not saying, do you like your mother? You're finding out, do they spend time with their family?
Yes.
So first, it's like a shopping list. If you were going to go to the grocery store, and especially if you've never dated this way and you've never made this recipe before, you have to have a list. Because if we don't have a list of the new things we need and want in our life, we'll just go down the same old aisles and bring home the, they're not available, they drink too much, they are emotionally abusive, they yell all the time. We don't know what to do to ask for, go down a different aisle to get a different kind of person. So what I help clients do is get to the bottom of, first, what do you think you need and want, and why hasn't that been showing up? Because that's a big piece of it.
Christine.
Because we block it.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you, how important is sex in a relationship?
Well, I think sex is very important. I know it's the way that men feel the most connected to us. I mean, you feel like really part of our life and that we are trusting you, because you have to come inside of our body, so we really do have to trust you. And what I find too often is that women have sex too early, that you are the gas pedal as men and we are to be the brakes as women, because we women get really attached when we have sex generally. And until we find out if you're the right kind of guy for us, we do need to wait and let you get attached to us. But once you're in a relationship, I give all my clients the same advice. Regular sex is mandatory. And even if, now I'm not saying ever to be forced, ever, but even if you're not in the mood, I help them figure out things that help them get in the mood. I'll tell you what I do with my husband is I said, if you send me a couple sexy texts during the day, trust me, I'll be ready when you get home.
That's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah. No, I may try that.
Good. And we are like slow cookers and you're like microwaves. We need warming up periods. That's really important to a woman. And
you
know one of the sexiest things a man can do?
What?
Do the dishes.
I have no problem with that. Believe me.
We love it. We love it when you do the dishes. We love it when you do something that we think is hard at the end of the day and we've worked really hard and we feel very cared about.
How important is a kiss?
Well, I think you can tell a lot, but I don't know that you can tell a lot by the first kiss. I think everybody wants to put
kiss.
A lot of importance. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can tell a lot about how physical a person is in general. You know, are they a touchy-feely kind of person? Are they more reserved physically by how they kiss? But I always want to caution people to not put great kiss. Don't put a total, no, I'm not going to be with them because the first kiss wasn't great. Because not everybody's going to be good the first time.
Yeah.
So give it a couple of tries. But I think physical attention of any sort, holding hands, holding, hugging, touching, sex is very important for us to feel cared about by each other and connected by each other. But that's another conversation of how much do you need? How much do they need? If it's really far apart, how do you come up with a compromise? Because that's where a lot of the fighting comes about. We assume everybody has the same need that we do, that they need it the same amount that we do. And that is not true at all. And then lots of fighting happens.
Okay. Do you, let's say if I'm a client and I go meet someone of the opposite sex and I want to know about her sex life, how would I get her to tell me about her sex life before our relationship would begin?
Well,
do I need to check her?
Do you need to check her what?
Do I need to check her background or her sex life or, you know, something?
Well, I'll tell you, George. I never sat across the table from a man who didn't want to have sex with me. I know that you don't show up unless you're sexually attracted to us. That's just the way the world works, and I thought it was terrific. And I know as a woman, if a man brings up sex on the first date or the first few dates, it's probably going to be a turnoff, and for most of the women that I talk to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know that's not the answer you wanted, huh? So tell
me
what you would want to know. But tell
that's
me what
fine.
You would want to know, and I'll tell you how to ask it and when. So tell me what your end game is. What is it you would like to know?
Oh, basically, basically it's not about me. I'm just trying to put myself in the place of one of the listeners who might be listening. So,
I love it. I think you're wonderful to do that, George, and you're speaking for men. This is a very important question for men. So
tell me
what you need to learn about a woman sexually, and I'll tell you how to find it out. So tell me what you would like to know as a guy, speaking for the men that are listening on the
radio. Okay. I would like to know if she's someone that I can trust to have sex with me and maybe only me.
Oh, monogamy. Yes. Monogamy is a very big question for both the men and the women. Yes.
Yeah, I figured that. I tried to make it a broad question. Yeah.
That was a great question. And that's very appealing for both the male and the female listeners of your audience. So very good job. You're a good interviewer.
Okay.
And being trusted is very important to men. I know that. So that's why we wait to not have sex until we've learned more about them. Are they a kind of person that wants a monogamous relationship? They've had monogamous relationships in the past. Are they somebody that's still just interested in dating around? those are the kind of questions that will let you know if this is a trustworthy person before
mm-hmm.
you believe that they're going to be monogamous with you and not want to be with other men or women.
Christine, do you have
a
book out?
It does take a little while. I actually am in the midst of it. But what I offer
okay.
right now is I have two things I give on my website,
okay.
which is www.theperfectcatch.com. There's
That's
one
great.
Place that, thank you. And my tagline is learn how to be one and then how to attract one. So when you become the perfect catch, which is what I had to do for me and what I taught
mm-hmm.
my friends and what I teach my clients, the perfect catch will finally show up. Because my husband would not have shown up if I hadn't done this work ahead of time. I got really good at having the wrong men show up. So on my website, you can download the 10 best and worst things to do on a first date as my gift. I also offer, at the top of my website, there's a banner that says, what's holding me back from love? If your listeners click on that, it's a questionnaire, just 10 questions, and they fill it out. And once they send it off, my online calendar will pop up, and I offer a 3-hour conversation with me. I'll answer
wow.
any questions. I'll tell them, you know, they can ask me about a relationship they're in or a person they just dated or a person they're going to date or why do men say this and why do women act this way. I will answer all those questions. I give them a whole hour for free. Because they're listeners on your show, they can click on that banner.
Yeah, once this show is over, I'm going to give you a link to it so you can put it on your page, and your clients or can come by and just, you know, hear you give your analysis of relationships.
Thank you. And I'll tell you, one of the things I've discovered the most consistently is that men and women are very consistently miscommunicating. One of the things that's the hardest on men is we get mad at you for what seems like no reason. Every man says, I don't know why she's mad. I don't know what made her mad. I don't know why she's mad at me. And because I can interpret for them, I can explain to you what happened and how to have it not happen again.
Wow.
And I have the same
okay.
thing happen with women. They say, I don't understand why men do this or act this way or say this. And I interpret for them to show them that the man really isn't, most of the time, he's not misbehaving. We're just misunderstanding. We misunderstand.
All right, Christine Baumgartner on the George... All right, Christine Baumgartner on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Thanks, Christine, for being on the show. Thank you so much for all
Thank
your
you,
advice
George.
And all your expertise on dating and relationships. I'm gonna follow through on some of this. Would you like a link to this show?
Oh, yes, and I would love to hear what happens when you follow through on some of my advice. I'd be thrilled.
Oh, wow. Thanks for being on the show. Talk to you soon.
Thank you again. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. And we will be right back, folks. We will be right back, people.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right. My guest was off. Well, she's working on a book, Christine Baumgardner. She was talking about dating and relationships, and I had a lot more questions for her, but the time was running out. And, you know, I like having people on the show like that. I mean, they give us their take on it, you know. So 347-857-1762. If you have anything you want to, any thoughts on that, you can call in. We can talk about it or sit back and just listen. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio, WTTTY, out of Chicago. It is 6:56 straight up Chicago time, Central Standard Time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I will be right back. Folks, let me see. Well, what can we do? Do we have that clip? Here's a clip I want to play of a rally. When I think about rally, let me say this again. For April 1st in Chicago, there's going to be a one-day teacher strike downtown. So the teachers are going to be out of school. My understanding is Chicago schools, Chicago public school teachers are some of the highest paid school highest paid school teachers in the nation, and they're striking for more money. And get this, folks, if you haven't heard this, if you are a teacher in the Chicago public schools, if you do not participate in this one day strike, and a lot of teachers do not want to participate, if you do not want to participate in this one day strike to try to get them more money, a contract, when the city is broke, if you don't want to participate in this contract, then they are going to throw you out of the union. The union is going to throw teachers out of the union if they don't participate in this strike. And some people are saying that the strike is illegal. The kids are going to be out of school. This is a school day that they're going to be doing this one strike, this one day of action. It's going to be on a school day. So the union, like I said, is asking all of its rank and file members to not teach that day and go downtown, stand up and strike for one day. Even though it's an illegal strike, they should be in school, because the city is saying if you're going to be striking and you're not in school, you will not get it paid. Apparently, they don't care. But the thing is, these are Chicago public school teachers are some of the highest paid teachers in the United States. And they just keep wanting more money, more money, more money for themselves. I've said this many, many, many times. I don't think these teachers care anything about these students. And some of these students and some of the students and their parents, they are knuckleheads because they're supporting this teacher and the one day strike. They're supporting what the teachers want. But some of them do not know better. These teachers are well paid. They keep wanting and keep trying to stick fingers, hands in the taxpayer pocket to pay them. My son goes to a public school and I don't think he's learning a damn thing. My son learns he gets from me. Yes, I am very pissed off because I don't want to be paying all of this money for teachers, their pay raises and their pensions and their salaries, and they keep on striking, going downtown striking and wanting more and more and more when they are the highest paid teachers in the United States, in America. If a lot of the teachers are listening to me now, I know you pissed off at me.
Well, you don't support the teachers.
Support the teachers. I support the teachers. I don't support all these damn strikes, letting the kids be out of school so they can roam the damn streets. I don't support that. And I don't support the teachers always asking for some damn money when they're the highest paid in the nation. These teachers are well paid. Now they're going to take a one day of action to try to scare the mayor and try to scare us taxpayers while stepping on the students. A lot of these students are supporting the teachers. They don't know any better. A lot of the parents are supporting the teachers. They don't know any better. A lot of parents who do know better are saying we should get rid of the unions. I see why a lot of Republicans and some Democrats want to get rid of unions. They're all about sticking their hands in your pockets. And another thing, if you don't support the union, myself as a parent, if I don't support the teachers union, the public schools, they're going to look at me like I'm the craziest person in the world because I don't support them. I must be loony. I must be crazy. What's wrong with me? You don't support us. You don't support the teachers as if we are supposed to support them. We should be honored in supporting them. Hell, you ain't giving nothing to me. I'm giving it to you in terms of my taxpayer dollars. You're giving nothing.
Well, we're educating your child.
No, you're not. I'm educating my child. I really don't agree with this one day of action of these teachers because I think they're getting too much money already to do nothing. Well, you know, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not criticizing all teachers. There's some good teachers out there. There's some dedicated teachers out there. But there are some teachers out there with their hands always out, begging, asking. They refuse to give up anything. I think these three-day furloughs may be a little bit over the top, but still in all, you take that up with the mayor. And the mayor, he's going to take it up with taxpayers. This is crazy. I see why some of the people are leaving the city of Chicago. The population is down. It is down. People are leaving. But you will never hear politicians say that people are leaving the state because they don't want you to believe that. They don't want you to know that they know. But we know that they do know and that they're trying to play us for fools. But anyway, on this one day of action, we're going to go downtown and be a part of it. We will not be a part of the teacher striking, but we'll be a part of those group who are asking for $15 an hour. We'll be a part of the college and universities groups who are protesting against Bruce Rauner and his cuts, upending higher education for a lot of college students. We're going to be down there protesting college debt, you know, things like that. I will not be on the side with the teachers, even though they're going to take up probably 50% of downtown. So, you know, I was earlier on the side of the teachers, but I started to make my own decisions about what's going on. And I'm saying to myself, these people make a lot of damn money. Why are they doing this to the children for one day, keeping the kids out of school for one day? They're going to be out here running the damn streets, you know, nowhere to go, nothing to do for Friday. And this could cause us to get hurt, especially in these high crime neighborhoods like the north and south sides of the city. So I'm going to be a part of it, but I have to go down there. So if, like I said yesterday on the show, I'm going to be protesting against Bruce Rauner. The two are going to be doing their own thing, protesting for more money and all that kind of stuff, a contract or something. But I'm going to be protesting against Bruce Rauner because we still do not have a budget in Chicago. I mean, it's going on 6 months. I mean, actually, it's 6 months and plus two, eight months, maybe 6 months plus four. You know, but anyway, we are not, it may be a year budget in place in Illinois. That's crazy. When there's no budget, it clearly means no money can be spent. Money can be spent. And Rauner he's been given budget after budget. He vetoed it. He sits on his desk. And he uses his executive authority to cut funding from a lot of these schools, colleges, universities, disabled, you name it, child care, daycare, a whole host of vital programs for seniors. It's just crazy. You know, it's just crazy. So I'm going to be down there lending my voice against the TV folks. You know, I mean, I try to avoid TV when I can, but this is too important. This is like this. So I'm going to try to get up on stage and give my little two cents. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be one of the speakers, and that's going to be great. It's going to be wonderful. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and I want to say again, I want to thank my guest, author Christine Baumgartner, for being on the show. She was great. She was talking about dating and and relationships and stuff like that. She's, you know, it's great when people, majority of the time, I always ask an author, you're taking your experience, other people who are going through some of the same things that you may have gone through. And that's what it's all about. That's what I do. I take some of my experiences and some of my beliefs and I put them off on others because I think you'd be going through those types of things. So if you're out there and you're depressed, you're feeling not worthy, you're not by yourself. Are you feeling lonely? You're not by yourself. You know, because we all go through that. Anyway, let me get back to what I was saying. We're going to be down there on the 1st, April 1st. April Fool, we're going to be down there, and we're going to be a part of it. This is what I say. Too many people out here talk a good game, but you have to put the pedal to the metal. There's got to be some action behind those words. Even I ask myself sometimes, why do I just sit in my studio and talk on the radio and just talk? You have to put some action behind your words, George. You just can't talk. There's too many people, too many talk show hosts, television, radio, here and there. They just sit behind the microphone and talk. Just like somebody sits behind a keyboard on a computer and just type. You have to really put some muscle into what you're saying. And this is one of the reasons why I don't listen to Elizabeth Warren anymore, Senator of Massachusetts, because she's not running for president. I mean, why would I listen to you? You know, because you're not putting any action behind your words. Put some action behind your words and I will listen to you. Put some action behind your words and I'm with you. Don't just talk. Do something. And I'm saying the same thing to voters coming up this November. I mean, you guys really did a great job March 15th, especially in the state of Illinois. You gave Rauner two or three, actually several defeats. And that's great. We got to defeat this man again November 2016. Yeah, he's a Donald Trump supporter. He says if Donald Trump gets the nomination, he's going to support Donald Trump. He can support Mickey Mouse for all I care. I couldn't care less who he supports. But supporting Donald Trump tells you that he's just as whacked out as Donald Trump. And, oh, wow, I'm looking at Mary Manuel, the mayor of Chicago, right now on Channel 11. Whenever he does something controversial, he runs... Whenever he does something that's controversial, he runs to a television camera to try to make up for it, to try to, you know, save his goat or something. You know, whenever he does something controversial, because he wouldn't be there if he didn't do something that everybody thought was just awful. He's talking right now. I don't even want to hear it. You know, some people who you just don't like, just not interested in anymore. I don't listen to people like that anymore. It's nothing they can tell me. It's nothing they can say. It's nothing they can move me on because they're corrupt. I don't listen to people who are corrupt and who are liars, who are just plain mean and nasty. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We just had our guest on, Christine Baumgartner. I want to thank her again. I will send her a link to the show. Yet I have to send another link too. I always send people links to the show so they can... I'll try to better themselves so their clients or their fans or their friends can share what they have done and what they're trying to accomplish. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
We'll be right back. Hello, folks. We're back. We're back. You know what? I got here something. I got Martin Luther King's last speech. This is just about 2 minutes and 37 seconds of his last speech. If I can say it, I'm drinking coffee here, so if my speech is a little slurred, you know why. This is MLK, his last speech. Sounds like he knew that he was about to be assassinated. Listen.
All we say to America is be true to what you said on paper. If I lived in China or even Russia or any totalitarian country, maybe I could understand some of these illegal injunctions. Maybe I could understand the denial of certain basic First Amendment privileges because they haven't committed themselves to that over that. Mm. But somewhere I read of the freedom of assembly. Somewhere I read of the freedom of speech. Somewhere I read of the freedom of press. Somewhere I read that the greatness of America is the right to protest far right. And so just as I say we aren't going to let any dogs or water hoses turn us around, we aren't going to let any injunction turn us around. Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. My eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord.
Yeah, that was a great speech. And I have that clip and I play it every now and then because I think he knew the ending was coming. A lot of people have said that he knew actually the ending was coming, and he may have been surprised that he lasted so long. And it's always moving to me. It's always moving because that's totally his last speech. That was some parts of his last speech, excuse me. And he was a great man. He was out there. I mean, we need somebody like that now. Is there a Martin Luther King around in 2016? I don't think so. No. Things are worse now than they've ever been before in terms of race relations. You name it. Things are a lot worse than what they used to be. And I don't know. The world has seemed like it's just gone haywire. And you know, people are not in their right minds because they're giving this guy, Donald Trump, they want to give him the presidency. But from my understanding today, he's been very weak. And a lot of people are trying to stop him from getting the presidential nomination. And it seems like it may be working because Every damn day, if not every minute, something's coming out about Donald Trump. Trump stand by the creep. that's the byline or headline on Huffington Post. His one of his minions was locked up for roughing up a reporter. And Trump's going to stand by him because, of course, he's going to stand by him. I mean, him and Trump, I mean, they're made of the same cloth. All right, it's 7:16, and this is the George Wilder Jr. Show. And the mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, is on television as I'm speaking. And he's talking about the police, the new police superintendent of Chicago that he has picked. The police board is pissed off because he did not pick anybody that they chose. So they're pissed off. They're saying that he didn't go through the right channels of choosing a police superintendent. And Rahm is on television right now saying that he did go through the right channels. But you know what? Rahm is going to be Rahm, and he's an awful mayor, just like Bruce Rauner is an awful governor. We just going to have to wait and do it. Folks, we got to do a better job at the ballot box. That's what we have to do. We have the power. We're not helpless. We have the power. We just have to do a better job at the ballot box. And come November, we have to put a Democrat in the office. We cannot have Ted Cruz or Donald Trump. Things going to be really messed up if we do that, folks. We're going to go all the way back to the 16th century if something like that should happen. So we have to be vigilant. And if Bruce Rauner of Illinois, the state which I'm in at this moment, if he runs, we're going to vote his ass out. But I think he's got about 2 or 3 more years. So he's got two or three more years to screw up Illinois. But I don't think they're going to let him because the legislature holds majorities in both houses. So Bruce Rauner, only thing he can do to get things done is to work with them. If he doesn't work with them because he doesn't want to work with them, then he's going to be using his executive authority to tear things up. Like I've said many times, that's what Bruce Rauner wants to do. He wants to tear Illinois apart. He wants to tear it down and then rebuild it again. And while he's tearing it down, he's going to blame Democrats all the way for it. He wants to see it torn down and so he can rebuild it. Remember, not too long ago, he wanted to take over Chicago public schools, and he still wants the schools in Chicago, the public schools, to declare themselves bankrupt because he's refusing to fund the schools. This man is refusing to fund anything that needs to be funded. The money is not coming out of his pocket. He doesn't give a damn, George. He wants to see chaos. I said this many times. He wants to see this state destroyed, completely go under. But luckily, we have the courts, and the court system is not going to let this state go under, whether Bruce Rauner is leading it is leading or not. And he is no leader, folks. This guy is not a leader. Every now and then he'll come up out of his cocoon and appear in front of the media and say a few things, and he's gone for the next 3 months. Then suddenly he shows up again and he says it's my way or the highway, and then he's gone again for 3 or 4 months. Then he shows up, pops up. He doesn't give media Q&A questions. Q&A. There's no Q&A session with Bruce Rauner. There's no media interaction with him. I mean, there's no asking him a question and then expecting him to answer. There's none of that. There's never been none of that. Bruce Rauner says what he says, and then he's gone. And as if we're supposed to jump over barrels, you know, to do what he wants us to do. It ain't going to happen. And I think he may be finding that out. I think he may be finding that he's going to have to work with the legislature to get things done in Illinois, or he will be a forever. He will be a forever failed state of Illinois.
Material,
Okay. He will be a forever failed governor of the state of Illinois. Okay, I don't think we're on the air, are we? Okay, oh boy. He will be a forever failed.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
Okay, we're having some trouble with the clips. Okay, all righty. Okay, Mayor Rahm Emanuel is on the air. He's on television now. Let's see if we can pick up anything that he's trying to say. Oh, he's talking about the one-day strike. All right. I'm looking at something on Huffington Post here, and it says Donald Trump can't even keep up with his own lies. Yeah, I said this. I said something to the fact on Facebook that Donald Trump, this guy lies as you look at him. I mean, it's something. I think he's bipolar or a sociopath or something, because He believes in his own lies. He believes that he doesn't lie. I mean, when it's right there on videotape, when it's right there coming out of his mouth, this guy's got to be a sociopath or something, bipolar. Maybe he has autism or something, but he is no presidential. He's unfit to be president of the United States. There's no doubt about that. A lot of us used to say and have said that Donald Trump, they would rather see Donald Trump president than to see Ted Cruz. I don't want to see either one of these guys president. I think they're both unfit. And I know for a fact that Ted Cruz is more dangerous than Donald Trump. But I don't want to see any of them president. But Ted Cruz, he's going to come out on top on this. Donald Trump has got too much negative baggage hanging on him. And that's the truth. The guy's got a lot of negative balance, and people are starting to see it, and people are starting to turn away from it, and people are starting to give their support to Ted Cruz, which I don't think should be president either. On the other side of the coin, the Democrats, Bernie Sanders has got lots and lots of momentum. All of a sudden, Hillary Clinton doesn't want to debate him anymore. She wants no more debates. That tells you that she's probably afraid of him, afraid that these debates are kicking her ass, and she's afraid of him. But I'm hearing right now that it's a tie. It's very, very close in California for the primaries for the Democrats. So it's a possibility that Bernie could pull it out in California, because that's one of the largest states in America. And if he does that, then he gets the delegates. Then he gets all of those delegates, and he walks away with the nomination, hopefully walks away with it. But as of now, Hillary has a slight lead, but she's nervous. Okay, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Please join me tomorrow, folks, and thanks for listening. Bye-bye.